Next item, time certain 626. Could you please also read 627?
626, add a new per-night fee assessed on booking agents or transit lodging intermediaries for the privilege of facilitating a short-term rental occupancy. And 627, amend Tourism Improvement District Code to include short-term rental hosts who use booking agents to advertise or accept reservations and other housekeeping changes.
Colleagues, Portland is in a declared state of emergency that the council has extended with regard to housing. Since I've taken office, I've taken steps to ensure that we're on a path to address this emergency in a deliberate way. And I think there is a clear sense of urgency in terms of making sure that we're pushing every single opportunity to address this. I've spoken with my colleagues in the Bureau on what more we could do to address this issue. And this per-night fee is one way that we can provide necessary funding. While only just one piece of the puzzle, it could be an important one to help us find a path forward on meeting our commitments. The funding from the per-night fee will go into the Housing Investment Fund. These funds can support affordable housing, homelessness, and home ownership opportunities through the Housing Bureau. I will continue to discuss with my colleagues about the best way to fund or to use these funds, but I want to make clear a previous council made commitments around the preference policy in the northeast Portland corridor, and I intend to honor those commitments. In 2016, voters approved a housing bond, which is ahead of schedule in terms of fulfilling its commitments, and I intend to ensure it's successful in honoring the voters' trust. And just last fall, the city made a commitment to permanent supportive housing, and I support that as well, and I intend to keep my commitment on that front. As mayor, I work to make sure that Portland makes good on the promises that it has made, whether I was here or whether those promises were made prior to my being here. Every day, I hear about the impact that affordability, displacement, and homelessness has on our tourism industry. This is a step in continuing to address these issues that have been priorities for me. Obviously, this is also a fairly limited amount of funding that we're talking about, and that's why I want to work with my colleagues to ensure that these funds are used strategically to address the city's existing commitments. I also want to thank the short-term rental industry for working with us to improve how we work together, and the travel and tourism industry in helping us find solutions. This could have been a conflict-ridden process. This could have been a divisive process, and I could not be prouder to be the mayor of a city where all of the interested parties came together and shaped what we collectively believe is the best policy together. And I want to especially thank my colleague Commissioner Fish for co-sponsoring this item with me. It proves that council in partnership can do more together to make the lives of all Portlanders better. And as my co-sponsor on this, I'd like to ask Commissioner Fish if he has any introductory comments.
Thank you very much, Mayor. 3 years ago, the council declared a housing state of emergency. We committed to urgency in our response and to both short and long-term actions to address the crisis. Also 3 years ago, as part of that commitment, we directed the City Budget Office to take all the taxes that we get from short-term rentals, like Airbnb and HomeAway, and put them into the Housing Investment Fund, or HIF. This is our most flexible pot of housing dollars, and the short-term rental funding can be used in a variety of ways to help people in the 0 to 60% MFI bracket. Now, it was never a sure thing that this would get council approval. Commissioner Saltzman and I brought the idea to council twice before it gained majority support. I was very proud of that action then and am proud of that action today. It was the first ongoing source of funds dedicated to affordable housing. I remain thankful to my colleague, Commissioner Saltzman, to Israel Baer, to Jess Larson, and to all the advocates who pushed us to take this historic action. Since then, we've taken another of other steps to fight the affordability crisis gripping our community. As the mayor noted, we've created new funding sources, new tools, and new policies to help Portlanders manage rising rents and home prices that are outpacing the rest of the nation. These tools have made a difference, but none of them is a silver bullet. While none of them is a silver bullet, we are seeing some progress. It is no news to anyone that we are still experiencing a housing crisis, with a record number of people living on our streets and thousands of households one crisis away from joining them. Today, we are poised to take another step forward, asking an industry that is taking affordable rentals out of circulation to be part of the solution again. There's no question that the short-term rental industry limits the supply of our available affordable rentals. Rooms that might have been rented to a college student, an artist, an older adult, or a young working professional are now being rented by the night to a rotation of strangers. Homeowners who rented a room in their house out of necessity now have the option of earning extra money without the burdens of sharing a kitchen or being a landlord. And we certainly understand why that option is appealing to many. But we cannot solve this housing crisis alone. Under this modest proposal, visitors to Portland will be asked to chip in a little extra to help level the playing field. I believe that it's fair and that it's the right thing to do, and I look forward to today's hearing. And Mayor, thank you again for co-sponsoring this ordinance.
Thank you. And with that, Thomas Lanham, I believe you're next in the order.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, City Council. My name is Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the Revenue Division, and I'll have comments for both of the items before you today. On May 31, 2017, the Council passed Resolution 37288 directing the Revenue Division to draft amendments to City Code to implement a per-night fee on short-term rentals in support of housing and homeless initiatives. The resolution also directed the Revenue Division to include short-term rentals in the city's Tourism Improvement District, and the ordinances before you today are implementing those directives. I'll first speak to item 626, the per-night fee for housing and homelessness. In October 2015, the Portland City Council declared a housing emergency, and since that time has taken a number of steps to increase resources for housing and homeless initiatives. This ordinance is another step in addressing the housing crisis. The Portland Housing Bureau and many other jurisdictions and studies have indicated that short-term rentals are impacting the availability of long-term rentals. Assessing a per-night fee on such activities to partially offset the impact on housing availability is therefore appropriate. The per-night fee ordinance assesses a $4 per-night charge on short-term rental bookings in the City of Portland. The assessment is at the listing or booking level. So, for example, if one party books two rooms in one home as a single booking, the assessment would be $4. If two unrelated parties book one room each in the same home as separate listings and bookings, they would each pay $4, so $8 total in that instance of unrelated parties. And just as a reminder, the instance of this particular fee is on the platform. The short-term rental platform would be responsible for it. And this, finally, this ordinance is expected to raise between $1.1 and $1.2 million per year in support of housing. The second item before you is item 627, the Tourism Improvement District, or TID. The TID was established in 2012 to increase investment in marketing and promoting Portland as a travel destination. This fee is appropriate for short-term rental hosts to pay because they specifically benefit from the marketing of Portland as a destination. The TID assessment is a management license fee similar to the downtown Clean and Safe District and is currently imposed on hotels of 50 rooms or more. The short-term rental platforms have many hundreds to thousands of listings and therefore rival the size and scope of large Portland hotels. Had the short-term rental platforms been operating on such a large scale in 2012, it is likely they would have been included in the original TID. Because the structure of the TID is a management license for hotel management activities, the actual assessment could not be placed directly on short-term rental platforms. Again, it's on the hosts. However, we fully expect and have required the platforms to collect and remit this fee to the extent that they are already collecting and remitting Portland's hotel motel taxes. We also expect that hosts and platforms will choose to pass this fee on to guests, as do all of the hotels in the TID. Expanding the TID to encompass short-term rentals is expected to raise an additional $720,000 to $840,000 per year for promoting Portland as a travel destination. So again, both of these fees, we believe, ultimately will be paid by travelers or guests. We've done a comparison of Portland relative to other jurisdictions, and while these two changes place us near the top, they do not place us at the top, especially when you include local sales taxes, and of course, we have no local sales tax. So I will end my remarks there, and Terry is here if you have any more detailed questions. Thanks.
Very good. Commissioner Salzman.
When you said places us near the top in what? In fees on hotel bills?
In terms of the overall burden on a traveler or guest, so local sales tax, tourism improvement district-like fees, per dollar or per night type fees, as well as a sales tax. So the sort of analysis that anyone putting together a large convention would do to estimate the total impact of convention attendees in terms of what they would pay, that's the kind of analysis that we undertook to make sure that we were not completely out of bounds as far as the overall burden on the guest.
Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz.
Why are we not requiring the $4 per night on hotel rooms?
The hotel rooms are not actually, so the purpose of the per night fee is to address housing and homelessness. And particularly on the short-term rental industry, because it's that industry that is having an impact on the availability of housing and homelessness in Portland. Hotels, generally speaking, are transient lodging by definition, are not long-term rentals, and therefore wouldn't be appropriate to assess such a per-night fee on a hotel.
Okay, and why are we not imposing the 2% transient tourist improvement district on the smaller hotels?
We certainly could look at that. That wasn't the council's direction back in May of 2017, but there's no reason for us not to look at that, and I've heard there could be some interest in doing just that.
I'm interested in it.
Okay.
Mayor.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly.
Well, Commissioner Fritz beat me to one of my questions. I'm also interested in the conversation around whether we should impose the TID tax on smaller hotels without a sales tax. It's one of the few ways that we can kind of reap the benefits of tourist dollars in the city. And I am just curious when we will have the conversation about how this new revenue from the short-term rental fee will be spent. Is that up to revenue, or is that a conversation council will have?
Well, yeah, so in terms of the per-night fee for housing and homelessness, that would be up to the council once the dollars are available. Right now, the language in the ordinance is very broad, giving the council broad discretion to make a more specific determination at a later time.
But, Mayor, if I could, my understanding is the mayor is going to offer an amendment which just clarifies that the additional $4 is going to go into the Housing Investment Fund, and then that any expenditure from the Housing Investment Fund for any of the purposes the mayor enumerated in his opening remarks would be subject to council oversight.
Isn't that already included in the base ordinance? I believed it was.
The code actually states that the revenues from this fee will be used to fund affordable housing and homelessness initiatives in the Portland area. It doesn't specifically say it's going into the HIF, but the assumption is that's a likely place to put it.
The financial impact statement says that it goes to the general fund. It was the intent of both sponsors that the money go into the HIF, and so the mayor has an amendment, which I understand he's offering.
I would be happy to do that. I was just handed a statement seconds ago. While not explicit in the ordinance or the code, these funds will go directly into the Housing Investment Fund. In the financial impact statement, it incorrectly reads that the general fund will see additional resources. That is not the case. As per council policy, the decision has already been made that these funds would be directed to the Housing Investment Fund. I wanted to raise this issue to clarify that. So I'd like to propose an amendment that the funds go directly into the Housing Investment Fund.
Second.
So there's no confusion on that point. And we'll leave that open for public testimony. Commissioner Fritz.
Why are we proposing a flat $4 per night rather than a percentage of the whatever the room costs?
So under city charter, the city council does not have the authority to increase transient lodging taxes. This is not a tax. Neither of these are taxes. They are fees.
Got it. Thank you.
We have some invited testimony, unless there's other questions. Actually, you know, Thomas, a lot of people obviously reacted to that, thinking there's not a whole hill of beans difference between a tax and a fee. Could you explain what you mean by that? Because there is a legal difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still money. It still comes out of somebody's pocket. So let's not be coy about this. But you're speaking from a fact-based perspective. Can you explain that a little bit?
So while a fee and a tax may not feel different, the primary distinction is that a tax actually benefits broad general government operations. So, for example, our business license tax or our transient lodging tax broadly benefit police, fire, parks, and are really quite discretionary in nature. A fee, on the other hand, is paid to get a service or a program from a governmental agency or to offset the impact of activities such as short-term rentals on the local government. So a fee is appropriate for the TID as well because, again, the beneficiaries are Portland transient lodging rentals generally and not the general population. So that would be the distinction.
Yeah, good. Thank you for that. This is one of the things that, prior to my getting into public office, always sort of graded me the wrong way. If you're paying it, it doesn't matter whether it's a tax or a fee. It feels exactly the same way. Unfortunately, when we are drafting code, when we are drafting ordinances, we have to be legally very accurate because the attorney is sitting right there. I just wanted to clarify that. We're not trying to pull a fast one. There's just some legalese, and I wanted you to get that out there. So we have some invited testimony, our first panel. Then I know we have a number of people who'd like to come up and testify. I'd like to call up the first panel. It is Jeff Miller from Travel, first and only panel, I should say. Jeff Miller from Travel Portland, Charles Holt from the Mark Spencer Hotel, and David Pendleton from America's Hub World Tours. Thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Mayor Wheeler, Councilor, I'm Jeff Miller, President of Travel Portland, and I'm excited to be here today. Travel Portland's getting ready to celebrate its 40th anniversary this December of promoting tourism in Portland. Our new mission statement simply states, we generate travel demand that creates economic impact for Portland, and that is really what we're here to do. Dean Runyon tells us that in the city of Portland, tourism creates $3.6 billion in spending and supports over 20,900 jobs, incremental jobs, because of the effect of tourism. So, for instance, a restaurant with 50 employees may only have 40 if it weren't for tourism. So those are good incremental jobs. When we passed the Tourism Improvement District in 2012, the home sharing networks were very small. There's now over 4,000 rooms, and we know that they benefit from tourism promotion. We also decided at that time to exclude lodging properties as part of a negotiation of 50 rooms or less. I've been in contact with a hotel owner who is very much a leader in that small hotel industry, and he does say that they have benefited from the ROI on investment on the hotels that he has that are larger. So I have committed to creating a strategy with data from Thomas Lanham to help bring those folks in, and we'll make that my personal quest to make that happen. We will also add a representative from the short-term rental industry companies to our board of directors. We have 28 board members, one elected official from each jurisdiction, the city, the county, and metro. Mayor Wheeler is the liaison from the city. We have 12 hoteliers and the other hospitality partners, a hotelier here with us and one of our other hospitality board members. That bylaws change will go to the executive committee on July 17th. It will go to our full board for approval on July 23rd, and we have strong indication that will pass very easily. We'll accept nominees to the nominating committee shortly thereafter, and the representative will also be on the TID subcommittee, which approves how the TID funds are spent as part of the larger budget. We know from our survey of local public perception, 45% of all Portland residents know that someone is doing tourism promotion, but not necessarily Travel Portland. 82% of residents believe that tourists and tourism are important to Portland's economic success. Sir, one of the goals that you'll see in our next two-year business plan that comes to you next Wednesday is that we'll launch a community-facing website that will better engage residents, but also provide tools for businesses such as the short-term rental host to use the resources of Travel Portland. We're also purchasing research from AirDNA, which will give us short-term rental activity, average daily rate, occupancy, and revenue per available room, like we get from Smith Travel Research on the hotel side, which will give us the data that we need to measure ourselves and to measure our success going forward. You know, people make a decision to choose a destination first. No one ever came to Portland because we have the best Hiltons, the best Marriotts, or the best home sharing network. So we're really at the top of that funnel and getting visitors to come to Portland, and then they decide what neighborhoods and where they want to stay. So we really try and stay at the top of that funnel. We know that many of the hosts don't know of our work, and we want to do a better job. We saw the TV news story with the host with pins from all over the world. We do a lot of work around the world, certainly in Canada, Oceania, Asia, Europe, and of course domestically. And so we need to do a better job of talking about that. And I think the 12 direct flights really speak to how Portland is on the world map. An example of that, of the use of TID fundings, was a recent three-week pop-up shop in London. We took 15 makers, including Emma McElroy from Wildfang and Carlos the Rollerblader, to do a promotion there to support the direct service flight between Portland and Heathrow on Delta. You've seen our Blue Dude, the mascot in Japan. We believe we are the only city with a mascot in Japan, and we're very proud of that. And it has really created a buzz for Portland in Japan. There have been four department stores that have done Portland shops in their store in Tokyo and Osaka. So we are gaining traction there. Another program that we have hosted with Prosper Portland is My People's Market, which is a showcase of entrepreneurs of color, and it provides an opportunity for buyers such as hotels and other businesses to buy services from these people. Commissioner Fish gave the welcome at the November My People's Market, and there will be another one in June 30th. And I will tell you that at the November event, Terry Goldman, the general manager of the new Canopy Hotel by Hilton in the Pearl District, met three vendors that he's working with. Rachel Hessmark from R&H Design created throw pillows for each guest room, but more importantly, she now has connections to both Hilton and to the ownership group of the Canopy to try and grow her business. Jamal Hale with Good Green Printing will do all of the cards and stationery for that hotel. And once open, spirits from Chauncey King, who is the founder of Royal Spirits, will be sold in the hotel as well. So these are real-world examples of economic impact happening from businesses here in Portland because of tourism.
Jeff, just a quick plug for the market. In November, I did a lot of my Christmas shopping, and there was a couple of vendors that sold games focused for children. There were leather goods. There were all kinds of foods, plants, and then just dozens of entrepreneurs chasing an interesting idea and a dream. So it's a wonderful way to support the local economy and get a head start on holiday shopping.
And I would invite everybody to come June 30th at Moda Center Commons to celebrate and be a part of the next My People's Market, which Prosper Portland is helping with.
Well done. Never miss an opportunity to plug it, right? That's a good move.
Always selling.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members. My name is Charles Holt. I am the general manager for the Mark Spencer Hotel here in downtown. I was previously the general manager for the Holiday Inn at the Portland Airport and a couple of other suburban area hotels, so I've been in the Portland hospitality community for the past 16 years. The beauty of the Tourism Improvement District is how Portland has been able to grow in a very crowded field. Before this investment, we were part of a pack of destinations whose budgets allowed for convention marketing, a bit of international, with a heavy emphasis on public relations to tell our story. And by this, I mean the Portland story, not the hotel story. As you might imagine, when I was the general manager of the Holiday Inn at the airport, I had some serious questions about the effects that a 2% fee on each hotel room night would have on my guest and my business, and also how would my hotel benefit from this increased marketing for Portland. At the airport, we didn't always notice a direct impact of marketing for the city prior to the TID, but once this money was collected and utilized to market Portland, the city's core became noticeably busier, and the outlying areas of the city not only benefited from added room nights, but also increased rates due to higher demand. I also noticed the change in the number of citywide convention rooms it took to impact the occupancy at the airport. While it previously took a convention of 8,000 to 10,000 rooms to impact our occupancies, we began seeing impact from conventions with as few as 6,000 rooms on peak. Now, I'm at the Mark Spencer Hotel. It's a small hotel in downtown with 101 rooms. I continue to see how the TID has driven new customers to Portland. But now I not only compete with other hotels, I compete with the short-term rental companies for my guests. There are frequently luxurious condos in the Pearl District offering accommodations for less than downtown hotels. The hotel community has seen an impact from the additional rooms on the market. And while we welcome this competition, we also see a need to share in the investment to grow the pie for everyone. Charging the TID fee on short-term rentals is fair and will help raise the tide for all of us. There is no doubt that these short-term rentals have benefited from the marketing efforts afforded by the TID. As a board member of Travel Portland, I support not only charging the TID on these short-term rentals, but also on lodging facilities of 50 rooms or less. I'm eager to approve the bylaws change that will add a representative from the short-term rental companies to the board, as well as the TID subcommittee. We want and need their perspective at our meetings to offer feedback and guidance on promoting the destination, but more importantly, how can they bring this important segment of the industry to the table to leverage their assets to benefit Portland as a destination? By doing this, we all win together. Portland continues to punch above its weight as a destination. This investment will help ensure economic impact to each host and the businesses in their neighborhood, and this will be good for all of us. Thank you.
Sir, can I just say that, you know, we often have these hearings where you're here testifying about something legislative or whatever, but I don't think we take enough time to thank you and the Mark Spencer Hotel for all the good things you support in our community.
Thank you.
And my recollection going back as having the honor of predating Commissioner Fritz as the Parks Commissioner is that your business has very generously supported things like Summer Free-for-All. And it seems like almost every time there's a call out for some good cause, you're one of the first to step up. So I want to publicly acknowledge that and thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is David Pimmelton, and I'm the owner of America's Hub World Tours. And first of all, I would like to say thank you to the mayor and to the city councilors for the collaboration and work that you've done over the years working with Travel Portland to really promote this destination. And it has truly become a world-class place throughout the world. Back in 2007, when I started my business, as you know, the economy wasn't doing too good. And at that time, we made a decision to join Travel Portland to try and leverage some of the work that they had been doing out in the market. And it truly gave me an opportunity to truly get exposed to the industry more and more. Over the years, Travel Portland and the council worked together to put together the TID, which I personally have seen a major impact of it to our business. At this time, we run tours 7 days a year, year-round, from city tours to sightseeing up to the gorge to the coastal. With the convention groups that are coming in, we've been fortunate to work with some of the smallest to some of the largest groups, the Elks of 8 to 10,000, the United Methodists from 5 to 8, and many others, and bringing visitors in and taking them through the neighborhoods and giving them an opportunity to share and learn more about the history, the culture that exists here, and for them to also have the opportunity to spend dollars in those communities throughout, whether it be the Hawthorne Division, North Mississippi, Alberta, 23rd, Knob Hill area, Pearl, and many other areas. Today, we also run tours throughout the state of Oregon. So we have grown over the years tremendously. But the one thing I've noticed the most is that several years ago, we'd probably get one or two calls with visitors that were staying at an Airbnb. And just to give you some idea, today we run tours 7 days a week, year-round. On every tour we run, and there are normally 5 to 8 tours a day, we have visitors that we're picking up that have come in and staying at the Airbnb. And so instead of just picking up at the major hotels, we've actually had to create some additional stops at some of the properties where the visitors are staying. And I know this is a direct impact of what the TI dollars have done over the years to help our business. So there's a tremendous shift, and I truly support having, whether it be the Airbnb or the homestay, to participate in this TID funding, because I've seen the impact of it, both domestic, internationally, traveling with Travel Portland. And so it's just been an amazing experience, and with the continued work they're doing both year-round, when you look at the Phoenix market, you look at Minneapolis, you know, work that's been done in Seattle, it is truly, Portland has truly become a year-round destination, and this is all because of the TID and the work that's being done, and I think we all need to participate.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you all for being here. In some of the emails that I've read from thoughtful hosts who've taken the time to send their own thoughts in, there has been the concern raised about competition with the hotels and competitive disadvantage. So I'm glad to hear that you are all together looking at having the smaller hotels participate. The other question, though, is adding somebody from the short-term rental community to the board. One person is one thing. Is the intent that instead of competing with the hotels, that there would be marketing of the Airbnb, of the short-term rentals, letting people know that, yes, there may not be a hotel in Selwood, but there are host families who are willing to and open for business? Is your intent to change some of the marketing to make sure that the dollars that are coming from the short-term rental folks are being invested in marketing short-term rentals?
All of our marketing is really focused on the destination. We don't speak directly about a hotel and speak to the hotel market. What we would like, what we are doing, Nancy Truskowski, our director of partnership, has had two presentations at the host-to-host committee, which are the rental, some of the rental hosts. We'd like to do more of those. We would like to form a partnership with the home sharing networks to reach out to all of those hosts and to tell them about the opportunities that we do have at Travel Portland, the networking events, the collateral that we are more than happy to provide for them, access to the website, and as I said, we are creating a new website to engage those people. So it's really how do they leverage all of the great work that's being done about the destination, but we do want them at the table. So if there are ideas that we can incorporate into our marketing, we certainly will find ways to do that.
You might consider having two representatives from that community, and it's sometimes kind of lonely being the only voice on a board that's speaking for a particular destination. So I would suggest, especially given that there are the differences between the single room rentals, the whole house rentals, and various other things, I would recommend that you do that.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. So that is our invited panel. Carla, we have 36 people signed up. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So here's the way it works. The microphones move around about this much distance is good. They're super sensitive microphones. 2 minutes each. Name for the record. We do not need your address. We ask if people have particular disabilities or if they are here with small children. We'd like to invite those individuals up first. If you could just let the council clerk know, and we'll move you up in the order. Please do not make me the microphone cop. You'll see the yellow light go on, 30 seconds to go. The red light comes on, and the beeper starts beeping when your 2 minutes is up. Please stop when you get to that point so I don't have to do it. I don't like playing that role. Nobody likes it when I do it, so please manage it. So please call the first three, Carla.
The first three are Bob McCoy, Robert Hertert, and David Bowe, and they'll be followed by Greg Graceman, Lee Lancaster, and Kim Gordon Combo.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
And you can just leave the mics on when you leave as well. The green light should be on. Just leave them on.
Mayor and City Council members, my name is Bob McCoy, and I currently live and have an Airbnb at 11305 Southwest 47th Avenue. My family has lived in Portland for more than 42 years. I retired from the Department of Environmental Quality in Northwest Region after 32 years of public service. I am now a master recycler and bring those skills to our guests at our STR. I care deeply about our neighborhood, business community, and know most of my neighbors personally since I walk our two rescue dogs daily. I am an active member in various short-term rental groups that share best practices and recently learned that City Council was evaluating the taxation laws that govern STRs. I have been following the stories and sharing conjecture and around proposed changes and was unable to find the official proposal. I know host-to-host leadership made several requests to get a copy for review, and I was dismayed to learn that the auditor's office only released that official proposal for review on Friday, June 8th at 4 p.m. I'm concerned the city deemed 4 days, 2 business days, adequate time to reach thousands of hosts so they may review and respond prior to the city council hearing. I am a legal, registered host with an independent business license operating legally in Portland, and I understand short-term rental taxation decisions can impact my business regardless of who is paying for the fees levied. The ordinance recognizes STR platform operators as vested parties and neglects to recognize the hundreds of legally operating small business owners registered with the city as STR hosts. Hosts have a unique voice and perspective that is not being honored in this process, and the city has my contact information to inform me about proposed changes and further the responsibility. I would point to your own language governing notice. First, you provide administrative authority in Chapter 6.04.025, which states, before adopting a new rule, the director must hold a public hearing. Prior to the hearing, the director must mail notice of the public hearing to each operator currently registered with the division at the last known mailing address provided, or post the rule of the City of Portland website. The notice must be mailed.
Thank you.
Guess I'm out of time, sorry.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Sorry. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members. Thank you for the opportunity to address you about this legislation. My wife and I have lived in Portland for 42 years. I was a co-founder of the Far Southwest Neighborhood Association, and my wife and I began holding monthly meetups 4 years ago as a way of connecting with other hosts to share information about improving our hospitality professionalism. I appreciate the city's role in being a leader in short-term rental legalization, the first to do so in the world, and hope Portland will continue being the innovative leader in governing this vibrant hospitality segment. We believe that Portland City Council got it right when you legitimized short-term rentals, required primary residency, arranged for tax collection from platforms, and directed those taxes to the housing fund. We understand that much has changed and believe there's great benefit to City Council updating the short-term rental ordinances. However, a key stakeholder voice is missing from informing the process, which is why we recently founded Host to Host. Host to Host is a nonprofit trade association providing a voice for short-term rental hosts without corporate interests attached. We have a perspective not yet represented in drafting the new laws governing our hospitality segment. We formed in February 2018 and are now a group of 159 members and growing every month. Our members are engaged in their neighborhoods, business communities, and are keenly interested in representing Portland to world travelers while being law-abiding citizens. We're here to introduce ourselves in the hope we'll be recognized as a valuable part of the Portland hospitality offerings. 15 of us will be presenting testimony for your consideration as a representative of the whole group. We're using yellow ribbons to identify ourselves today, and our goal is to provide a narrative that will hopefully encourage you to recognize the value of those of us in this hospitality segment. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Good morning.
Thank you. If other hosts are watching at home and would like to get in touch with you to join this group, how would they get a hold of you?
They would go to hosttohost.org or email info@hosttohost.org. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm David Bowe, and I'm a host and super host for Airbnb. There's a big misconception that Airbnb takes affordable housing off the market, but I'd like to explain a little bit why that's wrong. Before I became an Airbnb host 2 years ago, I'd spent 5 years trying to rent out my spare bedroom as a roommate. College kids don't want some 61-year-old creepy guy as a roommate. That's why they left home. So I live... I live in a typical family home. My daughter's old bedroom is directly across the hall from my own room. Even at $450 a month, people did not want to have roommate situations for living space. The small children's bedroom across the hall from where I sleep is just not enough space for a family or even a couple on a permanent basis. But traveling guests, on the other hand, they don't mind that their host's bedroom is three steps away. And I still share my kitchen and laundry facilities. Airbnb's weekly suggested rate for my daughter's old bedroom is $26 a night. A $4 a day tax on 26 bucks, that's 15%. It raises the guest's cost on a weekly basis from $182 to $210. For the budget travelers that I'm catered to, that's a big difference. And anyone who thinks that, that the guests won't notice the extra $28 is just misinformed. Economists agree that if I want to maintain occupancy, I'm going to have to absorb most of that cost myself. And, you know, 28 bucks a week, that's $1,456 a year, which I really can't afford. I've been laid off of six jobs in the last 8 years, and without Airbnb, I would be seeking affordable housing for myself. Airbnb is helping thousands of Portlanders like me to monetize our biggest asset and stay in homes where many of us are pillars of the community. Airbnb is prevents the housing crisis from becoming much worse. It's helping thousands of Portland taxpayers to stay in their homes. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. And you had the best line of the day as well. That's going to be a hard one to top. Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, I look forward to hearing all the testimony today as to whether the two proposals that are before council are carefully calibrated. I hope we don't have 30-odd people testifying about the question that's already been settled about the impact on short-term rentals and housing affordability. In study in city after city around the country, everyone is free to... Look, folks, you've all been rallied to come here. You can all put your thumbs down. The bottom line is there is significant evidence in cities across the country that by converting long-term rentals to short-term rentals and the market dynamics of that adversely affect housing crisis in cities across the country. We're not actually debating that point today. Council has already said that those revenues are going to go to the HIF. What we're debating today is whether to make a modest increase in two fees. That's the question. And if you think that the numbers are wrong or you have some question about our methodology, that would be helpful to us. But we've already settled the question of the impact of short-term rentals on long-term housing affordability. So I just we can have that hearing, but I think it's more useful to focus on the matter before us and to give us guidance as to whether we have the right numbers.
I appreciate your testimony. Thank you for being here. Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Greg Raisman, Lee Lancaster, and Kim Gordon Lumbo. And they'll be followed by Robert Jordan, Patty DeAngelis, and Darlene Curtis.
Just to be clear, I was not disagreeing with my colleague on his point. I appreciate when people come here to testify because I know everybody's busy and has a million other things to do. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Greetings. My name is Greg Raisman, and I live in Southeast Portland. The views I'm expressing today are my own personal views that I hope will eventually be shared by my employer, the City of Portland. I love our city, and my heart aches for the humanitarian crisis we're experiencing. I'm really sad that we finally have a voice that's being heard and being told not to use it, and that you don't want to hear our perspective about our own industry that we're in. As a YIMBY, I am always supportive of more housing. I believe that we need more housing, and we need more support for services and things that are going to help address it. And I'm proud that my small business is contributing to those problems, to helping with those problems. But I want to say that you shouldn't treat me like a multinational hotel chain. My wife and I couldn't afford the process of becoming a landlord. We made a renovation in our basement that we could afford and chose to do that so that we could finance our investment through hosting people from out of town and sharing the city we love. We're following all the rules and doing things right, and now we're being told we're the bad guy that needs to pay more because of our negative impacts on things that we weren't going to have a housing unit to share. So it's a legitimate point that needs to be heard. And so, I want to also say that we are really excited that commercial operators are going to go away. The way that the home away settlement has happened is great, that you're going to get the data about who's hosting, which will let you enforce the rules that are good. Thank you for having them. They're going to help preserve the fact that my small business and others like mine will have less impact on the housing market. And so I just ask that treat us fairly, hear our points, hear where we're coming from, and also treat us with respect to the fact that you're charging us the same amount that you're charging the Hilton. You're charging us more than you're charging the downtown boutique hotel. And I'm just a little guy trying to rent my basement. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good morning. Folks, we can get through more people if we, just thumbs up or thumbs down works. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mayor and city councilors. My name is Lee Lancaster, and a 30-year resident of Southeast Portland near Hawthorne. For the last 2.5 years, I've been an Airbnb host with our 2 bedrooms upstairs. I am very proud to refer our guests to our unique local businesses and believe that it helps our community. I'm also a member of Host to Host, and we would like to ask a delay in these resolutions because of the process. Would like to recommend a more inclusive process that takes our views into consideration. The graphic that you see before you is from a recent study done by RSA in London. RSA is formerly known as the Royal Society for Arts, Manufacturers, and Commerce, but they're a well-known group that does research on issues of public policy and issues facing society. This graphic, with all its colors, represents their analysis of 4 different approaches to regulating the sharing economy. They acknowledge that this regulation is difficult because of changing business models, because of innovation and technology, and because it is under the radar of traditional approaches. So what the graphic shows is that on the right side, they show 2 models that have more citizen participation, and on the left, less. The top is more centralized approaches, and the bottom is decentralized. The approach that they recommend is the lower right one, that the different colors are the various stakeholders in the economic activity that includes policymakers, the businesses or online platforms, the providers of services, and the users and community activists as well. We'd like to recommend this model.
Thank you.
And want to participate in it.
And I appreciate this. Thank you for bringing it. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Kim Gordon Cumbo. My husband and I, Fred Gordon, have lived in East Portland for over 35 years. I worked at Oregon Health Sciences University for 14 years at Richmond Clinic, a clinic focused on low-income and indigent. As a medical assistant, medical receptionist, and pharmacy technician, I know firsthand many of the plights of the homeless as I worked with them. And I was homeless myself for 4 months many years ago. I also volunteer with Host to Host and Northwest Reiki Association. We've been hosting for 5.5 years with Airbnb and are permitted 2 rooms in Lads Edition. We have hosted visiting loved ones of almost every neighbor on our block. While Portland was the first to legalize short-term rentals, each city implements a unique approach to address the needs of their city. Chicago does impose a surcharge on short-term rentals, but it's done in a percentage method. Next slide. Portland hosts currently pay 13.3% transient lodging tax, which includes the state occupancy tax of 1.8%. Adding a 2% tourism district tax brings it to 15.3%, the same as the large hotels. Adding a new $4 per night tax or charge equals 10% for a $40 per day listing. We are seeking equitable taxation across all accommodations in Portland, and I ask that you delay a vote on ordinances 626 and 627 until the verification process coming out of HomeAway settlement can be in place to inform the rollout of tax changes to short-term rentals. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Are Robert Jordan, Patty DeAngelis, and Darlene Curtis. And they'll be followed by Deborah Honthainer, Ann Koppel, and Rachel Harris.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Robert Jordan. I lived in Portland since retiring from the U.S. Army in 2003. My wife and I have operated an Airbnb in a room above our detached garage for the past 18 months. This is not an ADU, as it has no kitchen, so it could not be one that is converted to a long-term rental. The City of Portland secured a significant win for our community in the HomeAway settlement. We are encouraged to see that a pass-through online registration system was a key point of the February 21st settlement. We understand that other platforms will follow suit, and we feel the unlicensed commercial short-term rentals that have had the greatest impact on the long-term housing pinch will be removed, bringing affordable housing back on the market. In addition, the level of transparency in the data the city will receive should be significant enough to inform meaningful and responsible changes to regulation and taxation. To that end, we propose delaying taxation until it is informed by this data collection to aggregate and clearly create an affordable housing strategy. We believe that it is only reasonable and prudent to base any taxation plan on the real data that will result from the HomeAway settlement verification process rather than implement any taxes at this time. The slide above shows the work of Martin John Brown, who is a housing economist statistician based in Portland, who conducted a rigorous statistical analysis on the impact of Airbnb on the housing market, published in the urban planning magazine Planetizen in July 2016. He asserts that STRs and housing supply have been hampered by lack of data. There is a lack of data to inform how convertible these STRs are to long-term housing. Entire home Airbnbs in Portland in this study were a small percentage of the housing stock, and even this estimate is too high since Airbnb's classification scheme at the time forced many hosts, such as myself, to call situations whole house, which were, in fact, were not so. So to Commissioner Fish's point, I would say that we need real data, which you will get from the HomeAway settlement, and that many of the previous studies have been based on partial, selective data that are not very reliable. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Patty DeAngelis. I'm an adjunct instructor at PCC, and I'm a volunteer in various organizations throughout Portland. I've been a host with Airbnb since 2014 and have retained my super host status since then. But please note that the room I rent is the same room I share with my visiting friends and family. Therefore, this room is not available for long-term rental. We encourage that the City Impact Statement 687160 addresses representation of STRs in the light of the financial contributions that have been made on our behalf. The CIT fund estimates revenue that we have contributed are between $720,000 and $840,000 annually. We appreciate the proposal to add STR members to the committees and would like to propose equitable percentage of board positions be available to the host in addition to the members of platforms such as Airbnb and HomeAway. We want to reiterate that the voice of hosts will offer a unique perspective beyond the corporate vested interest. We would also like to request metrics be created for reporting back on regular intervals that will share the percentage of promotion dedicated to the STR arena, and transparency on TID funds will be used to ensure equitable promotion of STRs. We hope an audit of monies will be spent to contribute reflective equity in percentage of promotion. We would like to request that STRs be represented in all marketing pieces, segments, and currently exclusively occupied by the hotel industry. We know that more than 400,000 Airbnb guests arrived in Portland in 2017, stayed an average of 3.1 nights, spent $201 million economic impact in 2016. 96% of the hosts recommended local businesses to guests in 2016, and of the 36 would not travel without Airbnb as a low-cost option.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Darlene Curtis, and I just wanted to share some of my personal story. In January of 1929, my grandfather died unexpectedly, leaving a wife and four young children. My mother at the time was 8 years old. In October of that same year, we all know, the stock market crashed. In order to stay in their home, my grandmother remodeled and rented rooms. In the mid-50s, when medical bills became out of hand and overwhelmed my family's budget for my brother, my parents rented rooms in their home, at the home that both my parents stayed in until they passed. In spring of 2016, my husband lost his job when the company he worked for went under. Like my grandmother and parents, we decided we would rent a room in our basement. This saved our home. In Oregon, it was a tradition for rooming houses to share rooms on a nightly basis during World War II and during the Depression. The majority of our guests, I'm a host in the North Tabor area, and the majority of our guests are friends of family and people living nearby who have apartments or small homes. We are not a hotel. We are not an apartment building. For 2 weeks of the year, we are Nana's house to Zadie, who lives down the street. We are the staging area for flowers for the Mount Tabor wedding of Uncle Ray's nephew. We are part of Shannon's family reunion. We are Karen and John's grandparents' room because they wanted a really good bed for their grandparents on their first visit here. We are the extra room for someone visiting. We want equitable representation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Are Darlene Honthainer, Deborah Honthainer, Ann Koppel, and Rachel Harris. And they'll be followed by Shannon Hiller-Webb, Debbie Hertert, and Anne-Marie Claire.
Good morning.
Good morning. I start off. Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Deborah Honthainer. I currently live in the Multnomah Village.
Your microphone's off.
What do I need to do with
on,
it?
She's just
oh, talk louder. Okay. I currently live in the Multnomah Village and have lived in my home for 29 years. I have lived in Portland for 37 years and have actively loved living here. My children were born and raised here, and I've been an active member of my community, volunteering with the Friends of Gabriel Park, participating in neighborhood association meetings, and working with my neighbors to get up to speed with earthquake preparedness. Most recently, I've joined the Multnomah Village Business Association, and I'm a liaison between them and Airbnb. I'm here today to share with you how hosting has helped me stay in my home. I started hosting my guest room in my modest ranch home in 2014, and I've never rented without my permit and license. I lost my job as an occupational therapist due to the elimination of my position. I was 58 years old and knew that looking for a new job would be a challenge. I was considering my options, and the council voted to decide to allow hosting in individual homes, and I jumped into it. I'm proud to be a super host and have never lost that status in my over four years of hosting. The income I earn helps me pay my property taxes, high water and electricity bills, and to take care of the general maintenance. I'm a divorced single woman, live alone, and without this added income, I would need to sell my home. But where would I go? I have begun wondering whether the city really doesn't want me and people like me to continue to succeed and remain in the city. But why wouldn't the city want to retain longtime residents, active in their community, with a lot of years invested and a lot of love, too? I am thankful for the opportunity to earn this income in a way that allows me to remain in my community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I have a question, and thank you for your thoughtful testimony. What's the average overnight fee that you charge guests?
It ranges from about $48 a night to $55 a night. And okay. If there's an extra person, then it's another $5 per night.
Okay. And is it your concern that the additional fee that the council is considering, that you would not be able to pass that along to your guests?
No, I believe it would get passed along to my guests, but I'm concerned about the affordability of them choosing to come to an Airbnb, because so many of the guests that come to Airbnbs wouldn't be able to travel without a reduced fee place to stay.
Right, but at least with respect to the rooms that you rent, and I'm sure they're terrific, it would bump up your fees to something like $50 or $55 or $60. Is that right?
Yes.
And can we at least agree that at least with respect to what you're offering the public, that's a significant discount from what a typical hotel room would be?
It is, and it's the only way that probably a lot of people